And joining us right now is the anchor of The Lead every Monday through Friday on CNN at 4 p.m. and then also every weekend at State of the Union on CNN. He's got two shows. It's a burden to have two shows, yeah. Isn't it, Jake Tapper?
It's a lot of work. I wouldn't say it's a burden. I know you're being sarcastic.
I am. No, because I have two shows myself. That's why I'm trying to empathize.
You were trying to get sympathy for your plight.
Exactly.
Sweet, I appreciate it.
Are we seeing a complete, total breakdown over on the Democrat side? They should have been wrapping up and coalescing behind Hillary Clinton as their nominee. And boy, what a day it was yesterday with vitriolic accusations from the Sanders campaign to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and back. And Bill Press on your very own CNN network said, I think possibly the worst thing a Democrat can say. He said, I wish Debbie Wasserman Schultz learned something from Reince Priebus about unity. Wow.
Van Jones said even more that he said he wished that Reince Priebus was his party chairman.
Oh, man. What's going on over there, Jake?
Well, I mean, I think that the sentiment that Bill and Van were expressing is that Priebus, you know, walked this tightrope trying to be neutral while also trying to guide the process towards where he wanted it to be. And while many people have criticized him for lots of different things, including the result, He did manage to get through it. Obviously, right now Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in the thick of it, so it's a very difficult situation she's in. Although a lot of people on the Sanders side say that she has been, you know, her thumb's been on the scale the whole time in favor of Hillary Clinton.
Well, there is sort of that sense about her that at the end of the day she was going to do whatever it needed to do. Say hello to Winston for us.
Sorry,
we love Winston.
Winston's a regular part of
the humanity to the
president. That's right.
Yeah.
He likes to make sure that he's known.
But I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I mean, the thought is that, you know, she understood that the eventual nominee was going to be Hillary Clinton, and she sort of did things to protect Hillary along the way. I mean, is that an unfair characterization?
I understand why they feel that way. I think first of all, it's, you know, she was a Clinton supporter in 2008, so it's not a question about where her allegiance is likely to be today. In addition, there was the debates and the debate over the debates and the fact that there were only six Democratic debates scheduled originally, and some of them were, you know, not exactly scheduled for the largest possible viewership on Saturday nights, for example. And there was definitely the interpretation by Sanders people that this was an effort to cook the books and to make it so that Clinton had the easiest possible path to the nomination. And I certainly understand why they feel that way, and I don't think it's unreasonable to have an issue with that original debate schedule. And then there have been a number of things along the way. And I think what Van Jones was objecting to was the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz came out so strongly on Tuesday night condemning the statement that Bernie Sanders gave, in which he, you know, condemned violence, but also tried to express why so many members, so many of his supporters were frustrated by what happened at the Nevada caucus on Saturday night. Now, there are those, you know, affiliated with the Democratic Party and with Harry Reid and with other Democratic Nevada organizations, and also reporters who were there, who say that the real problem with what happened in Nevada on Saturday night was that the Sanders people got out-organized and out-maneuvered, and it had nothing to do with anything, any books being cooked or any scales being, the thumbs being on any scales, but that was the problem.
Meanwhile, we learned that Mitt Romney has now announced he's given up the search for a third-party candidate to run as a response to Donald Trump becoming the Republican nominee. And so is it your impression that this effort of finding a third-party candidate and resisting the move to coalesce around Donald Trump has sort of lost steam?
To a degree. I mean, I think the fact that they couldn't get Ben Sasse or any of the other Republicans on board who are in part of the Never Trump forces, I think that's definitely suggests that effort was troubled to begin with. Although Bill Kristol has some, you know, from the Weekly Standard, who's also Never Trump, has some new polling suggesting that there is a hunger for a third party candidate. I wouldn't at this point discount Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, who's been talking about having Republican Governor Bill Weld, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, as his running mate. I wouldn't discount that as a possibility, as a place where Never Trump Republicans, Never Trump forces can go. I'm not saying that Gary Johnson's going to be the next president, but
right.
I do think that that's possibly an a place where some of these people can land.
And interestingly enough, Donald Trump released a list of his proposed Supreme Court nominees should he become the president. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, I think that that's part of shoring up his support among conservatives. There are a lot of conservatives who don't trust him, who don't think that he's a serious person, but B, a true conservative. And so he offered this list of 11 possible Supreme Court justice nominees. And, I mean, it was a very, according to the legal experts, a very impressive list, not a squish among them, as the conservatives would say, all, you know, diehard conservatives, solid, impeccable credentials. The list was received so well, Trump tweeted that it was received so well, he's gonna suggest some more names.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure that that's how it works, but okay.
This worked? Okay, here's some more.
Yeah,
exactly.
You like that list? How about this one?
Yeah. Well, we know that he's a man that likes positive feedback, yeah. Right? So that's he wants more positive feedback.
Well, and maybe, I mean, listen, one of the concerns, there are many concerns about Donald Trump, but one of them is that he's never held elective office. We don't know what a Trump cabinet might look like. This may actually be an indication, maybe if he lists out some other people, like, hey, these are people who would be on my national security team. These are the people who might advise me domestically. That might be a smart idea.
It might be a way to round up support and consolidate support from among conservatives. Absolutely. I think who he picks to be his running mate will be the real test, because that's not just hypothetical. That's actual.
That's right.
And if you pick somebody that conservatives take seriously and Republicans take seriously, I think Bob Corker would be like a really smart pick, personally. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
Yeah.
Respected, works in a bipartisan way. People like him. He was a businessman at one point. I think that kind of pick, it doesn't do much demographically for him, or, you know, check any boxes in terms of gender or ethnicity or whatever, but he's a very solid person.
And former mayor of Chattanooga. So there you go.
Interesting.
All right.
Jake,
thanks a lot, Jake.
Thanks, man.